My topic this morning and the time that I have here with you today, I called it character and why it's important. Character and why is it important? I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly kindness, and brotherly affection with love. And it goes on, and it's not even limited, there's more to that. To add to your faith. How does that? Why is that important? The building of character. In my look back, I think of all the people I've known and the pastors I've known and congregational people I've known and different churches I've known, and these guys have known some of the people that I know. And all the people that I've met, I know this, that the building of character is the most important business in life. That is, there's just nothing more important than the building of character. It matters little what works a man may leave in the world. His real success is measured by what he has wrought along the years. Whatever you have, the people you've impacted, the situations you've influenced because of your obedience and because of your life. Every man's life is a plan of God. God has a plan for you. He has one for me. It fills us with great joy to know that there is, that God has something in mind. There's a divine purpose for you and I. And we grow ever forward towards that which we long. Whatever you long for, that's what you'll move towards. That's what I'll move towards. I made this little note that many searches are unrewarded. Men seek for money and do not find it. They strive for honor and yet it eludes them. They try to attain happiness, but the vision ever recedes as they press towards it. You see, there are certain things essential in building a life of character. There's elements, there's ingredients that I must be sure that I'm adding these things to my own heart and to my own life. Every structure requires a good foundation. I was watching some construction the last week. I don't know how far down those pilings are going, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of crane and there's a whole lot of work going on. And I thought somebody must have something in mind and said, what's going to hold that thing up? It will be the foundation. Without the foundation, what do you got? What have you built? It won't last when the storms come. Without this, it can never rise into its real strength and its grandeur. You know, when you go by and you say, "Whoa, isn't that what a nice-looking building that is? Boy, that's attractive-looking high-rise, isn't that?" You know, and you comment on how big it is and how strong it is, and that's the picture of our lives, that we want to build well within your heart and your life. There's only one foundation for Christian character. And that is that we must build on the rock. Every home, every heart must be built on the rock. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ is absolutely essential. That's the founding. That's the starting point. If you don't have Christ as the basis of your life, you'll flounder and your building will not go well. It can't possibly go well because the foundation is weak. So we must build on the rock. I read a list of three principles that I think are essential. Let me just read them. Principle number one is truth. It's not enough to make our lives true only as people so they can see them. We have but scorn for men and women who profess truth and then in their secret life reveal falsehood, deception, insincerity, etc., etc. There must be truth through and through in our daily lives. There can't just be truth today. There must be truth every day. We walk in the truth. And what a wonderful thing that is, that we can do that. Truth must be in the character. Absolute truth. Nothing little lies, a life full of little lies, you'll bring down the building. There's something about transparency. You can't reach perfection. I'll be honest with that. We all know that. You can never reach perfection in a fallen world. But you can come to that area of completeness where people trust you because of the truth they see in your life. Your life is not full of lies. Absolute truth. The least falsehood ruins the entire building. I was watching the Olympics, and now they're finding out about the corruption. And I thought, oh, what a mess. What a mess. Graft, corruption, poor materials, shoddy workmanship, bribes. And that's just one little thing in the world. There's all kinds of things going on. We find out that there's corruption in the higher levels and the lower levels, and things come out and find out, you know, the building collapses in Indonesia or someplace, and only to find out that it was built on straw, literally on straw. They pocketed the money and then built the building, and then all kinds of people died. They remember that a while back in India, the building collapsed, and they were just shocked as to why it collapsed, only to find out that it was built on shoddy, it was just terrible. It couldn't possibly, it didn't even last any length of time. It just all collapsed because of the cutting corners. Well, if you've and I've been cutting corners, the building's going down. It can't sustain itself, even if you wanted it to. The writer of Psalms says that God requires truth in the inward parts. Inward parts. Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, your delight in truth in the inward being. So that when God looks at us, our hearts are based on truth, without any lies. The things that we know about. And if we do spot a lie, that we would repent of it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, having fastened on the belt of truth. Truth. Whoa, what a powerful thing that is. Lord, reveal every lie and every deception in my life. That's one of the best exercises you'll ever do. Because Calvary's cross covered your sin. We don't worry about God not accepting you. Of course he will. You believed on his son. But to have the things in your life, we put on the belt of truth that nothing can, there's no flaws. It's just you are what you are. You're an honest person, a caring person. You know, when people apply for a job, boy, it's a big deal if there's all kinds of inconsistencies in your documents. And so you say, no, it's true, straight and true. I can remember pastors over the years, you never had to wonder if they were having an affair. Never. I can't even think, when I think back at different ones, I can't even imagine thinking that. Why? Because we knew what they were about. Straight as an arrow. Their word was their word. They did not bend to pressure. They're just honest men. And I can't imagine Brother Pritchard being involved when he was alive, being involved in scandal. It wouldn't have happened. It would not have happened because he was on the rock and he built his whole life well. We can think of different ones. Brother Kosick, there's just so many we know. And so I've been blessed to know people who are truthful. And you could take anything you want to the bank with you. There's just nothing. And if somebody would have brought accusations against them, I would have said, sit down. This man is not capable of lying to us. He's not capable of lying to us. Well, I guess he, potentially, I suppose that could be true. Not quite true, but as far as most of us knew him, we weren't worried about if there was somebody on the side, wink, wink. No, nobody thought that. Why? Because they walk in truth. And so, Lord, we pray this prayer so it can be said about you and said about me. Lord, reveal every lie and deception in my life. May there not be anything where somebody can find something and say, oh, brother, look at that pail of snakes. You know, that just, how could we have that in our life? Well, we can't. Only those who have a pure heart and clean hands can see God. Principle number two, of purity. Principle number one, truth. Number two, purity. To have clean hands. As far as you know, you're not guilty of anything that's wrong. And if you are, to repent of it. Just to repent of it. To say, Lord, I think there's some impurity in my heart, some kind of crud in my life. I just want to bring it to you. Just want to share, open my heart to you, God. So take a look, Lord. Shine your flashlight to see if there's any deception. And we say amen to that. Only those who have a pure heart and clean hands can see God. You know what I know about pornography? This is what I know. I know that if I ever went that route in my life and got entangled in pornography, I would not see God. No matter how I search for him, he will not reveal himself. Yeah, I just knew that. I know that. And I see what keeps me on the straight and narrow is that I want to see God more than I want to fill my heart with sin. I want to see God. I don't want to say, I'm sorry, you just can't see him because of all the stuff in your life. So Lord, let there be really cleanness in us. Psalm 24 and 4, that's where that takes place. And then principle number 3. It's so simple and yet so crucial. Foundation number 3 is love. That you have a loving heart and I have a loving heart. And this too must be worked right into the foundation. So you're not quite sure how this stuff all fits, but you are a caring, loving person. Love is the reverse of selfishness. So long as, and this is what President Lincoln said his second term. He said, so long as I have been there, he said, President Lincoln, after his second election, he said, I have not willingly planted a thorn into any man's bosom, never needlessly to give pain or hurt to a fellow being. What a wonderful desire for a president to say, as far as I know, I have not caused another man pain. If I did, I didn't realize I had done it. Wow. A fellow being causing pain. And we've all caused pain in someone's heart, right? We have. But to go to that person or to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I caused them pain and I want to make that right before you. So love is there and because we've had the Lord do us some surgery into our hearts. Truth, purity, and love. No magnificent building ever grew up by a miracle. So when you walk out and go downtown, all these cranes everywhere, you don't say, it's a miracle. I know it's a miracle. That wasn't here yesterday. Well, somehow it seems that way sometimes. But it never grew by itself. But stone by stone, it rose, each block laid in its place. How? How did that grow? By toil and by effort. See, I stand in awe when I see those structures, superstructures. I don't know who gets up that crane in the morning? I'd be the guy still screaming with my hands pried onto them. It's amazing. But it's not, so your life is not going to be a miracle per se. It will be the result of you laid stone by stone. You made choices that were good choices and honest choices and right choices. And because of that, the building is erected. Not because there was no, it wasn't a miracle. It's just little by little by little by little to find the building is erected and it stands strong and firm. You see, you can't dream yourself into a character. You just can't be done. You must hammer and forge yourself one brick at a time. So that you made that choice, you turned away from that, you shut that thing off, you did whatever you might have done. But even with the best foundation, there must be faithful, patient building unto the end. That's where he says, keep adding to your life. Don't just be satisfied with salvation, as wonderful as that is, but press in so the building is strong right to the very end. Each one must build his own character. I can't build character for any of the ladies here and any of the men here. I can't. I don't have that. No one can do it for you. No one but yourself can make yourself beautiful. If I'm going to be a work of wonder, of a life that's well lived in yourself and together. We want lives that are beautiful. And no one can be true, pure, and honorable and loving for you. You have to get your own. You have to get your own character to build character into your life. And that's just over time and over life. So your kids see you and they know that mom and dad are far from perfect, but they know mom and dad are truthful. And they don't cover their life. There's not secret things and hidden things in their life. So a mother's prayers and her teaching can't give you strength of soul. Just doesn't happen. We are always consciously or unconsciously leaving touches on the souls of others. People have rubbed against me and have left some marks on me that I'm grateful for to this day. And I want to leave marks on people too. But somehow, on the souls of somebody else, you just left some touches. Touches of beauty or of marring. You know, you can mar something and mar somebody else, but may that not be true of us. The beauty of our lives, that people would say, I can say this. I say, I really love that individual. I really love them. Why? Oh, partly because they, not only do they possess good character, they are a character. And that helps. It's because I can see they love Christ flat out, no compromise. The Lord is Lord of all, and they live their life well. And it's just a great joy to laugh and enjoy them and say, wow. And by the way, I can say this. We've got a church full of beautiful people who have let the Lord touch them, and they've been marred by others. And you can't. That's a precious thing. And don't, whatever you do, do not lose the depth of character. That there'd always be that. They could look to you, not in perfection, but in a process. Touches of beauty. So we ourselves are the real builders. Others may lift the blocks into place, but one must lay them on the wall. One person must lay them on the wall. Nobody can do that for me. I have to put those bricks up myself. It's strange how in the world many beautiful lives have grown up out of what seemed to be defeat and failure. There are young people that have come out of difficult homes and they've turned out to be really, really something. It's quite an amazing thing that they did. Because there was rejection, there was this happened and that happened and this happened. And you look at their life, and especially if they've been around our church for a while, and you say it's quite a not a miracle because it took over time, but they made right choices. And they've been going to the youth group and they've been going to the young adults, and they're growing, and it's just a miracle to see what happened. What should have been defeat and failure and poor self-esteem and getting in trouble with the law, they serve the Lord as young people, and that's. And adults as well here. So it's a great thing. So God seems to love to build spiritual loveliness out of the castaway fragments of people's lives. I mean, it's just, it was just smashed and ruined. It's an awful thing that happened. You can build a noble character for yourself if you know what God wants. In spite of all the hurts in your life, you might say, yeah, but it's not easy for me. I've got hurts in my life. Well, you pretty well have to get in line for that. Build a noble character for yourself in spite of all the hurts, in spite of all the injuries done to you, the things that were said to you, the people that rejected you and never took you seriously, either unwittingly or by others in some way or another. It's something. The fact that you survived. My sister and I, our father was an alcoholic and drank himself to death, and we both serving the Lord. Can't take any credit for it except that we built well as young people. We didn't have a whole lot of wisdom, but we knew that Jesus had broken into our lives. And if Barb was here today, she would say, yeah, it's because we would have been terribly marred if we wouldn't have met Jesus. We would have been fatally flawed. you know, when alcohol just roars through a home and everything is messed and wrecked and things are said and woundings happen. And so, but if I thank the Lord, and God says, you go this way, go that way, go this way, go that way, and you look back in your life and you say, wow, somehow in all of that you built a life. And it's a great thing, a wonderful thing. Philippians chapter 4, so whatever things are lovely, honorable, and good. And I wrote here, oh, we must have Christ in us, and then we shall find all kinds of Christly things everywhere, and we'll notice them, and we'll gather them, and weave them into our lives, what we see in theirs. I have many people, for me, over the years, have modeled well. They modeled the Christian life. They modeled what it could be. And I bought into it. I said, I think they're right. There's something about this, the path they're on. I'm going to want my life to be on that same path. I want to be like them because I'm so impressed by them. There was a couple by the name of Dave and Joyce Johnson who I met in Winnipeg years ago in the 70s. And I stayed in their home. I don't know what it was. I know you're not supposed to worship men and women. But I was so influenced by them. You know what I prayed? I prayed, God, make me like Dave and Joyce. They would be so embarrassed if they heard that now. They live in Calgary. I said, make me like them. Because I was in their home. I stayed there for quite a while. And that was my prayer. And you know what happens out of that? And I'm thinking about their lives and to make, they end up telling me about Eston, about the Bible school. And boy, my whole life veered off in that direction again. But it was because the influence of some serious-minded, they were fun and had great people to be around, great people to stay in their home. And because I saw Christ, no doubt about that. And when you do that, then you start seeing Christly things everywhere, and you gather them to yourself. And you're thankful for the influence people have had in your life. And it maybe not. Maybe your life has been one of a hardship life where things were said and done to you that should never have been. But do not be in despair that you can't have a deep character, a strong character. God will bring you out of that dust and out of that debris. And he'll put the crane back in place in your life and the work will start again. All the Lord wants is your permission. If you give him your permission, say, Lord, work in me, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Work in me, God. Don't leave me sitting here building my life. And I know what'll happen. He will just start working and building. And you can't say, well, I had a tough beginning. Yeah, sure you did, but enough about the orphanage. It's time to move on and to say, God, it's never too late to build a great life. Never too late. By shaping and molding, oh yeah, take note if you would from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, in building the temple, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used, and no hammer, no chisels, or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was still being built. You get the significance of that? There was to be no metal, no chisels. Each block had to fit right in to the other blocks without any noise, without any poundings, without anything. Just such precision. The work does not, the deepest work in your life is not taking place in church here. The deepest work of your life will be when you're laying on the floor some night and so discouraged, you don't know what to do. And so you'll just, the Lord will, he'll bring out the hammer. You'll start chiseling in the dark. And you'll be in the dark. People won't even know what you're going through. You know, it could be any issue. It doesn't matter what the issue is. But God will use it. And in the darkness of the quarry, when the rest of us are laughing and joking and fooling around, you will be opening your heart to God and asking him to do a deep work, not to bypass you in any way. And you will be dressed in the quarry. That's when it'll happen. The stuff you see out on the surface, It's not what you think. It's not the real deep stuff. It's just, you know, we get involved in things and people's lives and we interact. And it's all beautiful. We're all glad for it. But the deep work is we won't be there. We won't be in that. It's be you and Jesus. And I think in my life, it's those times in the quarry. I don't understand. I don't know why I'm even in the quarry. But it's not long after that you start seeing things. And I know Dave and Jeannie, the same thing. See, in that moment, we say, Lord, you're just working away on you. And he's working away on us. It's beautiful. The darkness of the quarry. And the shaping and the molding. And nobody can see. It's only you. As he chisels off, and that was painful, and that was painful, and that was painful. So make sure for tonight as you go to bed, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. That is, to me, is such a significant. There was, I don't know what skill those workmen must have had. There'd be nothing done on the site, always in the. And the same in my life. It's not about preaching, not about witnessing or starting a ministry. That'll all be in its right place, but it's you being built. You are being built. I'm being built. Wow. And then lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he said, you yourselves, like living stones. How interesting is that? Living stone. There were stones. And he said, Jesus was the cornerstone. We get that, right? We understand that. But living stone. And I'm being built, are being built up. And so that we build up as a spiritual house. I'm in the house being built up. I'm part of Lynn Valley Full Gospel Church. This is where God is building me into here and building that into me. There's the building of the Lord is going on in your heart right now. If you allow that to happen, to be a living stone, Lord, make me a living stone, fit me in so that when you take me back to the temple site, that I'll just slide in nicely. I don't want to be where they have to take the buzzsaw again and, you know, start sanding because I didn't cooperate. We want to be those living stones. We are already those living stones built up as a spiritual house. That's the work of the Lord. My job is to get in the right line so that I'm responsible. Nobody can make me spiritual. Nobody can build my character. It's just God and me, God and you. Is that a buzzsaw? It's great. How fitting is that? Don't you remember the morning that there was a thunderstorm? And I said, and lastly, and crack! And everybody jumped and afterwards, somebody said, you're good. And I said, you're good. Just the timing. As we close here today, character is everything. In a Christian life, it's everything. You want to finish well? Then let the Lord do his work. Because he does a great job, super job. And the process, he'll build in the foundation, truth, love, purity, so that when somebody looks at your life, there's not another compartment. That part. You're not conjuring, doing some stuff on the side. It's just what you are is what we see. This character building. This is what takes you to your whole life. This is just goes on and on and on, so that even days before you go to heaven, I suppose, you end up just still, God's still doing the work. It's wonderful. Some of the work in the quarry, I don't really appreciate, I guess if I'm honest. Seems unnecessary to me, but it's not, because there's still some shaving here, and why I'm in the dark, it was not to be seen by men. So if you feel that there's a kind of a privateness about right now, that there's some kind of a secrecy place, that's good. That's really good, in fact, because you're alone. And watch what will happen as this, you know, we end this year into the next year. There'll be all kinds of beautiful things that will come out of your heart, out of your life. And if you're a little confused about what he's doing, trust him. There's dust in there. There's all kinds of issues going on behind the scenes in the quarry. But boy, you are going to look so good when he places you into the temple, into this spiritual house. We're being built up in a spiritual house. Can't be done anywhere else. God says, it's done in other churches, done in Dave's church. But it's a work done in your heart. And all I know, I don't want to say he didn't run well. He didn't run well. He started well. Unfortunately, his ego, or unfortunately, his lust got the better of him. I think he thought that he was smarter than the rest of us, and he wasn't. See, I have been in these places. To counsel, to help, to pray, try to someone who is, yikes. They took the wrong turn. They thought that it wouldn't matter, that the little things wouldn't matter. The little things matter immensely. So immensely. The little things are what this life is about. Not the big things, not the impressive things, the little things. So that the Lord is able to do his work without little resistance from us. And so I'd like you to, if you would just stand. I think our band, that song? Do we have time? Yeah, we have time. The song about the altar? Or did they go? Should we wait for the second service? There's something wrong with this conversation. Are they coming back? No, we're good, Krisha. It's good. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Sorry. So we'll come to the altar ourselves. So what does a person do? It's surprisingly little. Just acknowledging that your life has to have a foundation. That's basically just realized it has to have a foundation. And the solid of the foundation, based on Scripture, obedience, of course, love and purity. It's a strange thing in this world where there's so much corruption going on underneath and off to the side. It's quite amazing that here we have this conversation. I mean, who talks about purity in our world? Nobody. You don't hear it mentioned. But to God, it's a huge thing. That there's not something kind of I remember meeting somebody, and Val says, "Oh, did you meet that person?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "What did you think?" I said, "Snakes knee deep." Yikes. I said, there's something wrong with that person. What a terrible thing to say, right? But it was true. Something I discerned in my heart that was not of God. And it turned out hugely right. To take no credit for it, but it's just that person brought something in. And they looked like this, but in the secret part of their life. That's the part we worry mostly, is the secret part of your life right before God. So you can discern when things happen and people come in and events are going on, that we're kind of aware because our issues have been dealt with. Well, I'm rambling on, so we'll end here. But just say to God, "God, I'm so glad you're building a spiritual house, and I'm in it." Imagine that. Jesus, thank you for choosing a stone like me and a stone like stones like my brothers and sisters here today. We've come to the altar here just to tell you that we say yes to you. We say yes to your character building in us. We say yes to your scrutiny. And if there's anything, Lord, that has to go today, let it go. Take it out. Cut it out of my life. That purity, love, truth. Lord, thank you when we see that in each other. What a gift that we give to the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. I pray this, that there would be a sense not of, I've got so far to go, but that you're on a journey, and just start thanking him for it. Lord, we thank you for the journey. This is great. This is the journey of our life, building into Christ-likeness. So here we are. Thank you. Bless those in the second service as well, and may it be a great week, Lord, that we can have. And Lord, we thank you that it's a wonderful thing not to try and save the world, but just to live our lives. And I pray it will be a great inspiration. I pray there will be something beautiful about us that will inspire and encourage, and someone will see the Christliness of our hearts. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Yes, amen. Now, it's really hot in here, and we're just going to say come out to this out here and just try and find a shady spot if you can, but it's really nice to have you here this morning. Lord bless you.